We've got Morris Mizalowski, business futurist, in with us right now, and we're going to look ahead into the future. We had an economist on earlier who was giving us doom and gloom that there are going to be a million people unemployed in Australia next year. What does your crystal ball tell you, Morris?
I'm not a doom and gloom merchant, so let's start with that.
All right.
I'm a glass overflowing person, not
Excellent.
Even half full.
Excellent.
So, look, the reality is we all know next year is going to be tough.
Yep.
I mean, that's a given reality. What happens to us next year is still in our hands. I read this stuff, and it's almost like it's a fait accompli as if it's set in concrete. The reality is none of this stuff's happened. We are going to have it tough. Business is going to have to be cautious. We're going to most probably spend less than we have before. But it's up to us to make the best out of what we can with what's given to us. There are still businesses out there that are functioning really well. I'm lucky enough to travel in and out of businesses every day of my life, including weekends. And I see some of them really doing it tough, but some of them beginning to understand that next year they're going to have to do things differently. What they did last year isn't going to work. So, yes, I think we're going to have a rise in unemployment. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as severe. Yes, we're going to have a downturn in business, but again, I don't think it's going to be as severe. And I think we're going to see the first half of next year pretty much like we've seen it now. I'm saying that by the end of next year, what I call the potholes are going to start to smooth out. And most probably, and it is a way off, most probably by 2011, business will have started to build a new sense of normal.
2011? That's the good news?
But it's a new sense of normal. That doesn't mean the next 2 years are going to be bad. It just means that we're going to have a lot of baggage we're going to have to shed ourselves with. We're going to have to think about how we do things differently. And it's going to take us at least 2 years to come out the other end and begin to say, well, this is a fairly normal day. The sun's really bright and everything's wonderful, as it has been for the last, what, 5, 6, 10 years.
Okay. So what are you seeing in the future?
So we're talking about my top 10 list. This is an annual list that I've done.
Predictions for 2009.
Thanks.
You know what? There was in the Weekend Australian, I think it was, there was the predictions of all these like heady economists,
mm-hmm.
and all these they had their predictions from last year,
mm-hmm.
and they put their predictions this year, and then they looked back at what they actually predicted last year.
Yep.
Every single one of them was wrong.
Yes, I'm happy to say I got 9.5 out of 10.
Really?
9.5 out of 10. Yes, go back to my last years, and they're at my website, and have a look at them. The only one I got slightly wrong was the economy, which I said would be bad. I just didn't think it would be this bad this quickly. But I definitely said it was going to be bad this half of the year. Now, mine are far easier, because they're not just economy, they're business sense. So our business trends are far easier to track. The economy is like this beast that just lets go forth. And it changed so dramatically.
Okay, so what are the business trends that you're foreseeing?
One of the first ones, I think, is what I'm calling cautious consumer. No, you know, there's no doubt about that, that what we're going to see over the next 12 months is a consumer that's not going to be as quick and as ready to put their hand in their pocket to buy things. They're going to have to think twice about it, and they're going to have to justify why they want that purchase. And from a retailer's
And is that just because of the... that? Because as one of our callers said earlier, although even if there's 8% unemployment, 92% are employed. So that 92% that's employed, why are they going to change their consumer? Because of fear?
Because of fear, absolutely, because they're buying into all this stuff. The reality is that they're not sure anymore. You know, they have a job now and they're fairly sure things are going to be okay, but all I need to do, unfortunately, is open up the newspaper or listen to somebody else and they're going to hear a doom and gloom story. So the natural thing we do is we kind of pull ourselves in and we say, even though I'm kind of okay, let me make sure for a little while that I am okay. I'll hunker down. I won't buy that big plasma TV. I might buy something a bit smaller.
So, okay, that's first trend is cautious consumer.
So the next one I'm calling conservative consumer, and this was something long before the economic doom and gloom. 2009, with President Obama, that most of us could see was going to be elected, is going to herald in a new conservative era. We really have, over the last decade or so, been a bit hedonistic in the way that we approach things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, it just is the way that we've done it. You know, it's really been about us, and it's been about what we can buy and what we can amass and what we want to do.
The McMansion.
Yes, absolutely. And again, no judgment put on that. It just tends to be the way the society's been. Really what's going to happen now over the next year and over the next 2 or 3 years is we're going to be a bit more community-minded, thankfully. We're going to think more about being conservative and not so ostentatious. So I think that's a big trend moving forward for us over the next year or two.
I like this one. Naughty hippies.
It's part of that trend that grows out of number one and two. But what we're seeing across the web and across a lot of retail and other spaces is the increase in the purchasing of crafts and arts, where people have gone back to almost those fundamentals, those crocheting days and those knitting days, and we're also seeing a lot of what's called upcycling. Upcycling is a fancy term for taking scraps, maybe walls, maybe leathers, and turning them into something more practical, something that's saleable. And if you want to have a look at some great examples online, there's a site called Etsy, etsy.com. It's an eBay. Don't go there to buy anything, but just have a look at the arts and crafts that people are creating now and selling, and the volume of sales that they're getting, people that want to purchase those handmade goods. And along with that, what I think is going to happen also, given this conservative era, is that we're going to go back and we're going to value our arts and entertainment more. The reality is for many people that they're going to have to experience life at home. They won't have the money or don't think they have the money to go out and maybe buy that expensive meal or go to the theatre as often as they might have liked to in the past. So they're going to try and make their home their castle, and that's called inspirences. So they're going to...
Called what, sorry?
Inspirences.
Inspirences.
Inspirences. Because you've got to have fancy words if you're a consultant.
Yes.
It's hard to sell cheap words.
Yes.
So inspirences are where people are going to make their home more of their castle. They might go out and they might buy a couple more pillows. They might repaint the house. Things that aren't very expensive, but give them a sense of well-being, give them a sense that they can still have something that they might want. And along with that, they're going to want to watch a great movie or drink some great coffee. Things that aren't terribly expensive, but things that they can afford.
But rather than going down the corner and paying $3
exactly.
for a coffee, you make it at home.
Make it at home. But you might buy a little bit better coffee to make at home. Inspirations. The extreme of this, I don't think we're going to see a lot of, is in America, where people are putting basketball courts in at home, where they're putting complete home theatres, not like the things that most of us have, but you know, home theatres, proper ones in, where they're really spending big bucks to do it. That's where this trend started with. But we're going to see it in a much smaller way.
That seems more like the McMansion concept to me.
It isn't. It really is making our home, again, at a castle. That we're not going to build bigger and bigger homes. We're just going to make our homes more familiar. We're going to look at the arts, as I said. We're going to watch our videos. We're going to bring our family back. I think our home meals are going to be a big thing again. We're going to learn to cook again, and we're going to have meals at home. So really people getting back together, entertaining themselves.
Which, again, is bad news for the restaurant, the businesses, you know.
I think it is, but again, that will balance itself out. In the short term, I really do think it might be something that we might need to look at as a restaurateur, as a cafe owner. That they are going to cut back. And we've seen that already. So these things will all balance themselves out. We should never read any of these. They're called trends for reasons, because they come, they go, and they keep changing. But for the next little while, I think this is where we're headed.
Okay. Just another one.
So another one is what I'm calling play nicely together.
Play nicely. That's what we used to say to our kids.
Absolutely, and that's where it came from. It comes from the notion that we love to have a gossip. We like to know what's happening over people's fences, even though we might not admit it. The way we do that now is by using technology. So we can look over the virtual fence. We can use social networking sites like Facebook and LinkedIn. And there's been a huge trend towards it over the last year. In the next year, in the next 2 years, it's going to become pretty much commonplace for most people that are online to spend some of their lives in those spaces, looking at what's happening with their relatives, looking at what's happening with their friends, trying to figure out how the world relates to them, and really peering over people's fences.
So, and that bizarre world, what is that world, that virtual world that has been created?
Talking about Second Life?
Second Life.
Second Life. Great space.
Really? Are you into that?
No. I am into it from a business viewpoint, but not from a walking around. So Second Life is...
And I mean, it's just like delving into your computer and going, removing yourself from the sunshine, from the open air, from life. That's what that virtual world is.
Absolutely. It's a totally artificial space. So it lives inside a computer, and what people have done is they've mimicked what they call the real world. So they've built property, they've built houses, they've built cars, they've built you and I in there, and all of these are digital images, of course. So I think cartoon, it's not, but think cartoon characters that we can manipulate and we can talk to people. So as my cartoon character, or as an avatar, which is what it's called, an avatar, I can walk around and I could visit you. I could fly over to your home, we could have that virtual cup of coffee and do whatever.
Sounds like the Twilight Zone to me. Yeah. We'll be back with more of the future with Morris Mizalowski right after this break. Talking with Morris Mizalowski about your predictions for business for 2009, Morris.
Absolutely are. So let's have a look at one I'm calling Let Someone Else Do It. There's been a trend in the past to get outsourcing done for a business. Outsourcing meant that you got someone else to do it. So you might have got another company to look after your human resource or to do your cleaning or whatever.
Or you go to a call center and they're in India.
Absolutely. So outsourcing has been something that business has used for quite a while, but it's been at the top end of business. It really hasn't been at the affordable end for small and medium businesses. And we're seeing now a trend towards small and medium business using them, outsourcing and insourcing. Outsourcing is where you get somebody outside the company to do it. Insourcing is where you get somebody to come into the company and do it for you.
Must have been going on for years. So what's the difference?
But again, it's not been done at that lower level. And one of the big differences is that
what do you mean?
At the small and medium business enterprise.
Like so, what? Give me an example.
So it's traditionally been done by governments, by large businesses, by BHP. But a small mother and father store, for instance, couldn't afford to have someone come in and do something for them on an ongoing basis because most of the people who were doing it were too expensive for them. So what's been happening now is with technology, we're able to find people not only from around Australia, but around the world to take on those outsourcing or those insourcing, or most likely outsourcing tasks for us. For instance, I work as what I call a solopreneur. So I work as an individual, but I have a team of virtual people around me. I have a virtual PA, I have a virtual secretary, somebody who virtually sometimes answers my phone, and somebody who virtually does research and all kinds of things. So I grow and contract my team as I need them. And there are some great places around the world.
That's the new way of doing things.
It absolutely
isn't it?
Is.
Because you don't have to have an office that you're paying for. Everybody's working at home.
No.
I like that about the present and the future is that we can change our way. I mean, particularly when you're getting older, and you may not want to go into some office block in the city, but you still have these skills that you have to offer, and you can do it at home. They can connect you to your business at home. You can work from home.
You can do that from anywhere at all on the world, and that's what I do. I mean, really, my office is my PDA. You know, it's my little phone that I carry around, and as long as I'm connected to that, I can get anything done in the world. I have people in India that do websites for my clients. I do a lot of them. I have people in America that I confer with. So I really work on a global basis, and that's happening more and more
and with,
now.
With NetPhone, the VoIP thing.
Absolutely.
That VoIP thing.
Well, it's free.
Awesome.
Those calls are free, and emails are free virtually.
I've got a thing connected to my computer now that's an actual just, you connect to your modem, and you've got a normal phone,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't want to give them a plug, although they're good, but for $15 a month, I get 100 calls anywhere in the world that I can call somebody's. It's not, you don't have to go computer to computer. Mm-hmm. I can call somebody's mobile or somebody's home phone in America, yep. or England or anywhere and talk for as long as I like, yep. and it costs 10 cents. Or I can call my mum in Adelaide and it costs 10 cents. It's unbelievable.
I've got
no wonder Telstra's share price is dropping.
I've been trialling another service, which again is VoIP, as you said, so it's computer-based, and that's $12.95 per month for unlimited calls, mobile.
Mobile here in Australia as well?
Mobile, local calls, and overseas.
Mobile in Australia?
Mobile in Australia.
Yeah, give me that number. I want
I
that
shall
one.
Do. And if you send me an email to my website, I'll send it across to you as well.
I have no
shares
email.
In it, of course.
Was it Morris at morrisurionthefuture.com?
Absolutely.
Because that's a ripper. That's the one that you just told me. I'll change the one I'm on.
Absolutely. It's a great service. I've been using it for about 4 months now. The quality is not bad, yeah? We're not talking about
the quality of mine is that I have. It's perfect, and it operates just like a phone. You don't have to do it through your computer or anything. It's just an actual phone.
Yep.
You pick up and dial like normal. It's got a dial tone and everything.
So I've been using a similar VoIP one for the last 4 years or so, and the quality's gotten better. This is still relatively newish, so the quality's not as good. If we can rate it on 100%, this one's probably about 70, 75%.
Hmm.
But for the cost, I'm willing to put up with the
I don't think... I'm about to move,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think I'm even going to have a landline anymore.
And isn't that becoming common? In the States, that's absolutely common. In Australia, that's just starting to become common.
I'm going to give it a miss because it's, what, $30 a month or something or other to have a landline. I've already killed my fax line,
mm-hmm.
because it's $30 a month plus call charges.
And what do you need it for?
You don't need it at all.
Because you're still getting all your calls wherever you're going.
Yep.
Absolutely. So,
all right.
Yeah, I think that's a big push. One of the ones that we should talk about is what is called changing of the corporate boardroom guards.
Okay.
We're used to the baby boomers. We've all heard about baby boomers and Gen X and Gen Ys, and I don't like these terms very much, but most of them are familiar with us. So a Gen X, of course, is somebody who was born between 1965 and 1980, and a Gen Y was born between 78 and 94. But what's interesting, as of next year, Generation Z is beginning to come into the workforce.
Is that right? That's my daughter's generation.
So Generation Z was people born between 95 and 2009. So we're going to find that those people, actually it's 91, so they'll be 18 years old next year, and they're just going to start to find their way into the workforce. Of course, not going to make a big impact yet, but let's think forward 5 years, 10 years from now, when they begin to get those good management roles, they're going to be taking their thoughts, their ideas, their gadgets, their way of working, which is very different from baby boomers.
My daughter grew up with the internet.
Doesn't
it's
know any
just normal
does she?
To her.
It's really at the end of their fingertips,
yep.
I call it. It's an extension.
And she, and to give her credit, she's hardworking.
Absolutely.
She's very positive. She's, I reckon Generation Z is going to be cracker.
I absolutely agree with you. And what we need to get over, or I should say I as a baby boomer need to get over, is the way that I used to work, or the way I was traditionally brought up to work, and that's that 9 to 5, you know, Monday to Friday. It was very much a matter of being there. The Gen Zs, the Ys and the Xs, are more task-driven. Now,
yep.
You give them something to do and they will get onto it like a dog at a bone. They will take it to its end, and when it's done, it's done.
Thanks very much, Morris.
A pleasure.
There was one last thing we've got to just say quickly. The biggest trend for 2009 is that Australia is absolutely the bloody best
place to be in 2009.
Absolutely.
Not a question. Have a great New Year to
Happy
you and
New
your
Year.
Listeners. And to you.